Proverbs 23, verse 9, these are God's words. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Amen. Thus ends this reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. In order for us to keep this instruction well, we need to have the humility to recognize what the Lord has assigned to us and what the Lord hasn't. If you are a parent, God has told you that folly is bound up in the heart of your children, and he has commanded you to instruct them. And so obviously you have to speak in the hearing of that fool. But he has also given you the discipline of the Lord, not just the instruction of the Lord, but the discipline of the Lord to employ in dependence upon God, asking God to use the discipline to drive the folly far from the heart of your child, asking God to bless all of the means that he has appointed. And, for instance, there are other places of authority in the civil sphere, the state, and the civil government, and especially in the church, where those who are in authority are to disciple, and wherever there is that authority, there is either punishment in the civil sphere for crimes, or there is discipline for unrepentant or flagrant sin in the church. But most of the time, we are not in authority over the people around us. That may change a little bit. As I began to say that, I realized I am in authority over most of the people around me, usually. But most of the time right now, in your particular season in life, you're not in authority over them. And so someone who is a fool, someone who does not acknowledge God, someone who does not fear him, they might give lip service, but God does not seem to make a difference with them. He says, don't speak to them. Don't speak to that person, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. And you can find out very quickly, if you are speaking to people with wise words, you can find out very quickly if they are a fool and if you need to hurry up and start obeying Proverbs 23, verse 9. Because your wise words would appeal to them based upon who the Lord is and the Lord having created them. And the Lord having redeemed them, assuming you're talking to a Christian, because the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And so our words for unbelievers ought to be few. We conduct ordinary business in the world, the way 1 Corinthians 5 teaches us, and we certainly tell them of Christ and answer for the hope that is within us. We may inquire after them. But as far as instructing and helping people with good counsel, the first part of the good counsel is to know God in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of the alarming things to me. At the seminary that I was at, there was a counseling department, and the professors in that counseling department did not focus on evangelism when they counseled unbelievers. That does not follow Proverbs 23, verse 9. Those unbelievers are fools. And they would despise the wisdom of words that start with God. But if you can't start with God, then there is no wisdom, is there? But if, for instance, there's someone who is a friend at church or an acquaintance at church, or maybe you don't even know them that well, and they ask something or their conversations, and you start talking based on who God is and whom he has made us to be to himself and what his word says, the encouragements and comforts, the good theology, instruction, correction and rebuke and training, all the wonderful things that God has given us in his word. And you notice that doesn't really make much of a difference to the person you're talking to. Or maybe even they're annoyed by it. Or they think you're one of those goody-goody Christians. Maybe even they sneer at you. Or maybe even verbally mock you for it. any of those responses say the fact that God is and who God is and what he is like and what he has said is not something that prevails with this person. It's not something that matters to them. So you say, well, it's the fool who says in his heart there is no God, even if he says with their lips, with his lips, that there is a God. And then you just obey what the Bible says. You decide, I'm not going to speak of such things with this person again. Not because you despise them. You pray for their conversion or pray for their maturing in Christ. Perhaps they are converted and you're definitely supposed to treat them as a Christian if they have, if they're a member in good standing in the church. But if it's a child, of course, you pray especially for their parents, that God would help their parents to be faithful in the discipline of the Lord and the instruction of the Lord, that God would bless that to them. You pray for their elders, that God would help their elders be faithful in prayer and in the ministry of the word, and that God would bless his means to them. But it has not been assigned to you necessarily to tell them. In your think before you speak acronym, it would fail on the N count. Is it necessary? No, because it's not your job. God has assigned it to somebody else. Okay, so do not speak in the hearing of a fool. Most of the time, every once in a while, there's a situation where it's wrong not to speak. But in most situations, if your default is to keep your mouth shut, you'll do the right thing. The Bible says that, doesn't it? Let each of you be slow to speak and quick to listen. And this helps us, especially when we say, but they're fools, they need to know. Is it God says they're fools. They're not speaking in the hearing of a fool. They need to know, that's true. But your God has told you that although they may need to know, the way they're going to come to know is not by you multiplying words. This is similar to what we learned in Matthew when the Lord Jesus told us not to cast our pearls before swine or to give that which is holy to dogs. So, my dear children, the Lord help you thinking back over some of your lives, places where you loved and cared for the person you talked to. Maybe they were Sabbath breaking or maybe they were dishonoring their parents or whatever it was. And you corrected them verbally and it wasn't for you to do. Something for you to listen to, Sophia, because you are learning and hearing things in family worship and from your parents that you really need. And there are other people in the church that need them too, but you are not supposed to be the one who tells them. And we could talk about figuring out those situations. But unless I tell you to tell them, which I'm not going to do, it is not your job to instruct anyone in the church. Do you understand? So it is not your job, Sophia in particular, or any of you, to instruct someone else. Now, one happy thing that happens is when you're with people who aren't fools. And we hope that we in our family are not going to be fools. That when one of our big brothers or sisters, or one of our little brothers or sisters, reminds us of what the Lord says, that will prevail with us, that we won't be instantly defensive or attacking. Wouldn't it be sad if, rather than being helped by a brother or sister saying, hey, get up off the couch and go help mom. We're not supposed to let her slave for us. If she's working, we're working with her. That you say, why don't you do it? Or, you're not in charge of me. Or, no. Because then, if you answer that way, then the brother or sister who tried to help you is going to think, wait a minute, am I in a Proverbs 23:9 situation? They just answered me that way when I was trying to help them honor the Lord in the family. Are they a fool right now? That the will despise the wisdom of my words? And they wouldn't, you don't say if someone is acting that way, says, aha, you're the fool from Proverbs 23 verse 9. But if you do find that, you just hand over your mouth, maybe you confront them about what they're doing, get mom or dad to come help you if that doesn't prevail. Definitely, we try to recover one another. We're not going to give up on anyone in our family as a fool. But don't you be the fool that somebody else has to, Proverbs 23:9 about. I hope this does help you resist the idea that you have to be the one to tell everyone. They may need to know, but God has appointed people. And if you're pleading with them in a brotherly or sisterly way on the basis of the Lord himself does not avail, does not work, then just remember, the Lord does not require you to persist. In fact, he tells you not to speak in the hearing of that fool. Helpful, isn't it? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this part of your word. Please do not let us be fools who cannot speak, be spoken to, who despise the wisdom of others' words. And please give us insight and understanding and help us by your Spirit to remember what your word says when we are in a situation where we need to not speak anymore because the fool is despising the wisdom of those words. We thank you, Lord, for how practical and wise and upright and life-giving your word is, even in its wisdom. And we thank you that it is you yourself who use it in our lives. So please do so, we ask, through Jesus Christ. Amen.